In the parks, it looks like it's going to be bean and cheese burrito, salsa, carrots, oranges, and chocolate milk are on the menu today. It is 8:13 a.m., 67 degrees here in our portion of the world. Blue skies might get some moisture today. They are saying monsoonal moisture sneaking its way back into New Mexico. So definitely that would be good for all of us and make everybody happy. And into the studios, we have Mayor Charles Starkovich is here. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning. What a beautiful day. God's blessed us with another one, Billy.
It is. We are so, so lucky. As we were talking before, went up to the Denver, Colorado Rockies game there in Denver yesterday. Love it, love it. And, of course, you have a connection with the Rockies. Your son is...
Well, my son is the number three grounds crew member on the crew. If you look at the program, it'll say Charles Starkovich, assistant grounds crew person. That's not me. That's my son, and I'm very proud of him. And, in fact, I got my second grandbaby about 2 months ago. They have two children now, and I'm just very proud of him, all my children.
Absolutely. He went took over a career in agricultural things, which is the ground screw there. It's amazing.
Formally, it's called turf grass management.
Yes, there you go. And how many are in the grounds?
Well, it's actually officially three permanent grounds crew people.
Oh, okay.
And then they have their seasonal workers.
Okay. And there, I mean, there has to be, what, 20, 30 or whatever. I don't know how many.
Oh, well,
but
actually,
it's an army.
It's an army seasonal, about 16, 17 people all told. But they do a multitude of work. You'd be surprised. In fact, my son is the one who paints the lines, too. He's graduated from cutting the grass to painting the lines and the logos and all of that. So I'm very happy and proud for him. And he's worked his way up. He didn't go to college. That wasn't for him. It's not for everybody. But hard work and diligence. He's the number three grounds crew person now, so I'm very proud of him.
Oh, and it's an immaculate and exacting job. It really is. Everything has to be right. Every blade of grass trimmed, and they were watering the infield, and they had five people on the hose holding a – it's a garden hose is what it is, but they had five people so it wouldn't scrape on the infield and mess up where they had already, you know, made it nice and smooth.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's professional league baseball.
Absolutely, absolutely, and it was a great game. We've talked baseball. Now, what else? What else do we want to talk about?
Well, I wanted to give the community an update on some of the commission's activities. But before I do that, I just want to mention about the article that came out in the newspaper last week about Friends of Raton Public Service, where they asked and told the community about free electricity for the city. I'm correcting false information. In essence, there's nothing free. The ratepayers of the city pay approximately 1.3 cents per kilowatt hour on their bill. You pay it, I pay it. And so, in essence, as I've explained to many people in the past, we're all stockholders, if you will, in the company, and that there's nothing free. The RPS doesn't own anything or have any assets of their own to give anything away for free. In essence, the approximately $600,000 that's run through the operation is paid by the ratepayers to pay for the streetlights, the city, the aquatic center, the Schuler, you know, and all of that. So to dispel the false information of that RPS gives free electricity to the city is false, because it actually costs each one of us about 1.3 cents per kilowatt hour as part of our base revenue charge. And that's a misnomer, and I just wanted to put that to bed. You know, one of the things that people have been asking me since we rolled out our new ordinance is that, why are y'all doing this? And that's a question. Why are y'all doing that? Well, we're working on another business opportunity for the city to increase revenue stream. You know, as our declining gross receipts tax, the city needs operational funds. Well, another false rumor is we're going after RPS in order to purchase something. That's false also. And so in the course of discovery, we were going to have to tweak or amend the ordinance anyway. And then our attorneys, in looking at the ordinance to see, well, how do we amend it to incorporate our new business venture into our current ordinance, they said, did y'all know that your ordinance is out of compliance with state law? And the fellow commissioners go, oh, really? We didn't know that. And they said, yes, it no longer complies with the statutory requirements of the legislature in 1978. So, of course, when you're sworn to uphold the laws of the city when you raise your right hand and you're sworn into office, when somebody tells you that something does not comply with law, you got to fix it. Well, we're fixing it, and it's causing a lot of heartburn in the community and whatnot. It's a lot of angst, a lot of rumors. I'm going to put them all to bed. We've got to do what we got to do in order to incorporate into the system our new business venture if it comes through. But irregardless if it doesn't, we still have to tweak the ordinance to get it up to comply with state law. Now, one of the things, too, I want to tell the linemen out there that if they're listening, you have nothing to worry about, nothing to fear, no fear-mongering, please. They have people on the lower end of the wage scale that are linemen out there that I even tried to argue for a 5% raise for the lower scale employees as part of our budgetary discussions with RPS, since I'm a board of members. The only people who will be affected by this transition will be the five individuals and the administrative staff that's going to be absorbed into city government, and most of those will keep their jobs too. You know, there'll be some tinkering around with pay scales and that sort of thing. So what we're doing is evolving into a new business model. It's a paradigm shift, if you want to use some fancy language, but the main overriding concern that we have now is that we're operating under an ordinance that doesn't comply with state law, irregardless of our business venture. So getting back to the free electricity, there's nothing free. We all pay it, and it's to the tune of about 1.3 cents per kilowatt hour. And, you know, overall, I can make another comment. When it gets right down to it, as part of economic development, there's only a certain amount of money in the community kettle, if you will. And that money has to be reinvested into the community. And one of the things that of note, and I'll talk about the racetrack investors shortly here, our new group of racetrack investors, they've looked at our utility rate system and structure in the community. And we pay a high rate structure when it comes to our electricity. And so as a board member of RPS, I helped negotiate the Encirco agreement, which will get us down from almost 16 cents per kilowatt hour. That's when you add the energy cost adjustment, or the ECA, otherwise known as a fuel adjustment, with our base revenue charge. You add those two together, it comes up to almost 16 cents a kilowatt hour, when the national average is a little over 9 cents. So we could be looking, I'm personally committed to doing everything that we can do to tweak our local utility structure to get it down to, hopefully we can get 40 to 45% overall reduction in the next year or two. And maybe, you know, that's a goal, but we have to do that in order to attract new businesses. And I consider it an economic development activity that we have to strive for, because our venture into ARPA, and having to sue and spend $400,000 in attorney's fees alone to get out of that association really cost the ratepayers a heck of a lot of money in that venture. It went into it in good faith, and it was a sour deal coming out of it. So now we're charged with cleaning that up, and that's what we're about.
I think you said it right. For as far as the community goes, there's angst here because RPS has been an institution of ours that has worked, fairly well, really well, down through the years. And so now, change, and any change is a little bit hard to swallow. And there's a little trepidation, a little anxiety about a government entity taking over a private business, so to speak. I mean, it's not a private business in theory, but...
What RPS is that there are a private corporation and they are the city's holding company, but they own no assets. Everything is wholly owned by the city. And for 65 years, it worked real well all the way up till 1986. And then, like I said, the last 25 years in our adventure into ARPA, we all know the story of that. So but the overriding factor, again, is two things. We got to comply with current state law, and the 1978 statute says that, well, you're not in compliance with state law, so you got to redo your ordinance. And second of all, getting our rate structure down so that we can attract what businesses we can, especially the racetrack, because our new investors have recognized those rates. And so it all goes hand in hand, especially when it comes to electricity. Water's a whole different subject, and we're blessed with our water supply around here. But electricity, you know, that's something that can be tweaked.
Well, there's a lot to this, a lot of information, a lot of background, and as you said, there is some misinformation that happens very easily. And
nothing's for free.
Well, and that's part of the basis for our program here, is to get out the information and get it as right as we can. So this is a big subject, et cetera. And we'll wait and see how things play out. Your next city commission meeting on the 24th is when the next commission meeting
is. Right, we'll be discussing that more at that time.
All right, and if people have questions, I'm sure they can contact you.
Right. Now, the other thing...
Yeah, now, go ahead. Talking about other things as far as the racetrack, correct?
Is that... Right, let me talk about the racetrack, and I'm just going to... talk about a few other activities of the commission, getting off the subject of nothing's for free. We're going to be meeting with our new group of investors latter part of this week, and we're lining up a number of activities. And one of the activities that we're hoping to do, and I can't guarantee this, so don't hold myself and my fellow commissioners to the fire, feet to the fire, if you will, is we want to hold a town hall meeting, maybe within the next 2 weeks, to where we can roll out some of our business ventures and maybe have one of the investors so that the community can meet this individual, so that this individual can speak on behalf of the new investor group. So we're trying to pull all of that together from the racetrack standpoint. And we're putting together the application. They're proceeding, and things are happening behind the scenes. Now, we do have Mollenhauer in the mix still.
Yeah, talk about a very complicated subject
It's a complicated subject, but we are proceeding on our new investor group front, if you will. And so we're going to be meeting in private with that investor group. It'll be either in Santa Fe or Albuquerque, date to be determined, off-site, you know, out of town. And that's going to be exciting. The other activities that we're involved in, first of all, I want to say welcome to our new fire chief. He comes on board next Monday, July the 23rd, Orlando Sandoval. We're looking forward to having this young man as our new fire chief, former fire chief of Angel Fire. Also, there's a meeting July the 17th for the drug awareness meeting. That's Tuesday at 5:30 at International State Bank. We're going to be participating in that. And then, you know, this past weekend or 2 weekends ago, we had our visioning public meetings that we had. All of you who have participated, try to attend one of the visioning public meetings to have your input on the city's future direction. And then in August...
And that's online, correct?
And that's online,
yeah,
correct.
RatoneNM.gov.
Yes.
Okay.
And then August the... Oh, it's somewhere 21st, 22nd. We're firming up the date. We're going to be meeting with Amtrak officials. not only with the current Amtrak line and passenger service, which there won't be any interruption at this point in time, but we're specifically going to be meeting with them on the discussions on purchasing the depot, so we can integrate the depot into our overall Main Street program and our multimodal center. And then tomorrow I'll be in Las Vegas meeting with a planning group. We're going to be having a tour with our congressional delegation. Probably August the 6th or 7th, we're presently lining it out for the track fire. A number of people, especially Mayor Ortiz of Las Vegas, are so impressed with our city's activities when it comes to rehabilitation of our watershed in Lake Maloya and with our last year's track fire, that they're using us as a model. And we have actually, you mentioned one, we're going to have another one in September. So a lot of people are going to be coming and going out of the community. So thank you to everyone who has participated in that overall affair, especially Dan Campbell down at the Raton Waterworks. And then
That one is July 24th.
Yes, July the 24th.
July the 24th. Okay.
And then, of course, we have our Chamber of Commerce meeting this week. I think it'll be the 19th, noon at City Hall. And then last but not least, this coming weekend, this Saturday, I'll be in Albuquerque. I'm on the New Mexico Municipal League's Resolutions Committee, where we'll be going over the resolutions from all the municipalities. And then we're going to be discussing next year's legislative agenda of what the various cities want to push. And in line with that, Neil Sagata and myself are on the New Mexico Municipal League's Tax Task Force. And the legislature is thinking about yanking some of the refunds to the cities, and that's the decline in gross receipts, and that's why we're headed in the direction that we are in trying to make up for the loss of our gross receipts tax revenues for operations of the city, and that's why we're looking at new business ventures. So yep. I think if we can pull off a town hall meeting, we're looking at the Shuler within the next 2 weeks. That'll answer a lot of the questions of what we've been working on this last couple of months.
Okay. Now, this tax revenue, gross receipts tax, they want a refund?
Well,
because some cities I know have been concerned about they're going to have to pay this back from what they've already received.
Right. At the last legislative session, various measures were put forward to tweak the formulas. Anytime you start tweaking formulas, that means the cities and the municipalities will be getting less money directed back from the state level to the local level. And so we're being proactive from a municipal standpoint, and that's why I asked to be on the Resolutions Committee and then fortunate enough to be on the Tax Task Force Committee. Neil Sagata was on there first. And so we have two representatives from the city representing the state when it comes to that. And so we're going to be proactive in not lobbying for if there is a shift in the formulas that the cities have a neutral revenue. In other words, we don't lose any monies, but we can't depend on it. That's the main thing. Like our city budget, we went from almost $3.9 million gross receipts, and then this past year we're looking at 2.6. Actually, over a 5-6-7 year period, we've lost $1 million.
Every year?
It's like a 5-6 year period. So we went from in our gross receipts tax collections.
City. From what the state paid back to us. Okay.
Yeah. So, you can start talking about numbers all you want to, but I don't want to.
It confuses
people out there. But that's another reason why we're looking at leaving no stone unturned, and we're committed to doing what we can with that community kettle of cash, if you will. We need more cash coming in than going out.
Well, there's a lot of rocks out there, so no stone unturned.
No stone unturned.
Very good. Anything else, Charles?
No, that's it. I appreciate you allowing me to be on. And to the be on the lookout for a town hall meeting coming, and I can't don't know exactly when that'll be, but when we do that, everybody come to the Schuler, meet the new representative of the new investors with the racetrack, and then we're going to talk turkey about the city's business dealings.
Great. Okay. Very good. Charles Tarkovich.
Thank you.
Mayor Ratone, thanks for coming and talking to us. 8:33 a.m. here in the Rocky Mountain West. First National Loan Production Office in the Don Anna Shopping Center is a TTO sponsor.
Summertime is a great opportunity to tackle all of those home improvement projects that you've been planning. Whether it's a kitchen remodel or a new roof, the First National Loan Production Office in Raton can make it happen. This is Diana Sanchez-Fear, and at the First National Bank, we have experienced lenders who are available to help you with your funding needs. Applying for a loan is easy, and we'll be there to help you every step of the way. I personally invite you to stop by the First National Loan Production Office in the Doña Ana Shopping Center or give us a call at 575-445-7123 to see just how easy it is to make your home improvement plans a reality. The First National Loan Production Office is affiliated with the First National Bank in Trinidad, which is an equal housing lender and member FDIC.
All right, beautiful day outside, mostly sunny skies, 68 degrees, and to match that, some beautiful young ladies in the studios this morning. Tess and Isla are here. Tess Neary, Isla Medina, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up in your worlds?
Relay for Life.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. That's this weekend.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
We have the 11th annual American Cancer Society Relay for Life of Colfax County. It'll be Friday and Saturday at Tiger Stadium. And we officially start everything at 6, but we have a survivor's reception at 5 p.m. that evening also. Okay. And any survivor, whether they're registered with us or not, is welcome to come to that. They can register on site. They can register anytime between now and then. Even if they don't register, they can register afterwards and come next year. Anything they want to do. We really want as many survivors as we can have come to that reception. And we also have a survivor's lap that they will be able to walk after we start the relay and do all of our opening ceremonies. And the opening ceremonies start at 6. We will Sandy Mance will be doing our welcome, and Pastor Adrian Coleman will be doing the invocation for all of us. She is recently a cancer survivor. And our American Cancer Society staff partner, Gloria Martinez, will be speaking also. Mercy Swanson, who is our event co-chair, will be talking for the committee. The National Guard will be doing our presentation of colors, and Estrella Vargas will be singing the national anthem for us. And after all of that, we do the survivor's lap, where all the survivors get to walk one lap in support for fighting cancer. We do a caregiver's lap to honor our caregivers. We do all the parade of all the teams, and then we do a fight back lap. And after that, everyone walks their own laps. Everyone keeps track. We do all of our fundraising events, all of our games, and sell of our food, and have a great time.
It's quite an event.
Yes, it is.
And the costume party.
Oh, yeah.
Costume party?
Yes, we're doing
cool.
A costume parade.
Right.
And this year, our theme is the magic of relay, kind of like the magic of Disney,
okay.
Except with relay.
Okay.
So all of the teams and everyone who comes, whether they're on a team or not, is invited to come dress up as a Disney character, and then they get to do a parade, and there will be prizes for a bunch of different categories for all of that. So everyone is invited to dress up as their favorite Disney character and have a great night.
Okay. All right. I went looking for my Goofy ears. I've got a hat with the Goofy ears, so maybe I'll wear that.
You okay. We'll definitely
be there.
Should.
KRTN will be there.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're gonna broadcast the opening ceremonies, et cetera. This is so, so, so important, and that's one of the reasons it's so successful.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes.
Is the word I'm looking for. And so, you know, everyone has been touched. Everyone mm-hmm. has been touched by cancer, either themselves, someone in their family, a very
yeah.
close friend.
Yes.
So that's why it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And you had some other stuff, Isla?
Sure. The reflection ceremony / luminaria light is at Lighting at Dark, and it's after lighting and reading of names, and it's after the reflection lap?
I think we light all the luminaries, read the names, and then have our reflection lap.
Okay, and that's at dusk or
yes.
at dark?
Yes, it's right
course.
At dark.
Okay,
so,
not 9-ish, something
yes.
like that. Okay.
And then we'll have food and team fundraisers at Relay and entertainment, And for the entertainment, the National Guard will be there with mini obstacle courses, football toss, basketball toss, and a mini Hummer. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, and there's a lot more. There's Zumba, and there's line dancing, and volleyball, and fencing, and a lot of
gunny
fun
sack
stuff.
Races.
Yeah. Jumpy castles.
It's mud wrestling. It's my personal favorite.
Really?
Yeah. It's going to be fun. So.
All right.
And then there's a bunch of fundraisers. And actually, the jumping castle is a fundraiser. And there's bingo and jousting and glow-in-the-dark jewelry and all this fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there will be food for sale, and there will be hamburgers. And at midnight, there's going to be green chili stew. And it's homemade that here. So
it's good.
You can't miss out on that.
Okay. So. Now, not that it matters, but who's making it?
Randy Marchiondo.
Okay, good. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Great.
And then there'll be a pancake breakfast at Knights of Columbus. That's who's doing it. And then there'll be other foods like Little C's and Lions Club Trailer and kettle corn and drinks and other snacks. So,
yep.
It's a mini community right there.
Yes.
You shouldn't go hungry. After
you will not go hungry.
Every need will be furnished there at Relay for Life. It starts at 5 o'clock this Friday, July 20th. And then it's... The rules of the fundraiser is that each team must have someone walking constantly for the entire 18 hours or whatever it is.
It's 18 hours.
18 hours. And so how many teams are there this year?
I believe we have 16 at the moment.
Okay. All right.
I'm not for sure on that number. I might be misquoting. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure we have 16.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
If not more than that.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
And people can still get in on this.
Yes.
You don't necessarily have to have a
you
team
don't
or
have
bring
to be
a
on
team.
A team. You can come, walk, represent a family member. You don't have to be on a team.
Or you can join a team.
You can join a team there.
Yeah. There's
we don't
plenty.
Promise you get the T-shirt, but you can still join a team and have a great time.
And help.
Help
and
out.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And anyone is invited, from youth to elders. So we encourage everybody to come. So.
Absolutely. It's one time or another during the day or the night.
Exactly.
It's kind of interesting there at 2 and 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be staying awake by doing lots of line dancing and loud singing and
band
all kinds of fun stuff.
Dancing.
Absolutely. It's a celebration and worth really every... I don't know how many thousands of dollars that they have collected down through the years, but, you know, it's all important because the rate for cancer survival, et cetera, has just leapt phenomenally.
Yeah. It has. And
remissions, and it's just, it's coming. The cure is coming. It just is not quite there. I mean, still, a lot of people are affected by this.
Yes.
But the way that they've handled this is in no small part attributable to the Relay for Life, not only here, but nationwide. I don't know how many hundreds they have nationwide.
Oh, yeah. They have thousands of teams.
Do they?
Yep.
Okay, and raise millions of dollars for it.
They raise upwards of $1 million just in some states.
Right.
I think last year Carlsbad raised about $3 million just at their own relay. And around the country, when you have that many teams raising that much, they can get upwards from $1 billion in 1 year.
Right. And the Colfax County Relay for Life, tens of thousands of dollars. I mean, I'm not going to give an exact amount.
I can't give you an exact number either, but
no, we'll
it's a lot.
We'll ask Mercy or someone when they come in to give us those specifics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, how did you come to get involved?
I kind of volunteered. One of my friends got asked to do it, and she didn't want to do it alone, so I said, I'll help, and I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. Boy, here, go down and be on the air. So they're using your talents, too, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what team are you on, Tess?
I'm on the Holy Guacamoles. We're also on the committee, so...
The Holy Guacamoles.
The Holy Guacamoles.
You too, Isla?
Yes.
Okay, very good. And how'd you become involved?
Well, you see, Tess called me up one evening.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
And said, hey, do you want to join Relay for Life? And I was like, well, sure.
Okay, very good.
So I
That's what friends are for.
On. Yeah. She's like, I don't want to sit at the meetings by myself. And I was like, I'll come with you.
And you have some great ideas. Yeah. You'll help keep me on track. Yeah. So. All right. It's kind of a win-win.
Yeah. So just wait when she has something that, when Nyla has something, you'll get a call.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I'll be there.
All right. And that's what friends are for.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of what the whole premise of Relay for Life is about. So.
Yep, sure is.
So if they have any questions, would like to join, who should they contact?
They can call Mercy Swanson at 445-5258, or they can call Judy Phelps at 483-0369, or they can call Mercy at Work at 445-8113.
Okay, Colfax County Relay for Life is this Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it
July
is.
July 20th, 5 p.m. is the reception, and then they'll start the ceremonies at 6.
Yes.
Right? Okay, thank you much.
Thank you.
Isla Medina, Tess Neary, thank you. 8:43 a.m. here in the Rocky Mountain West. Park Avenue Insurance is a This, That, and the Other sponsor.
No one likes a person who always thinks they're right. I should know because I'm always right. I'm the voice of reason. I always make decisions based on facts, not emotions. Anyway, my therapist says it's possible to change, so no longer will I urge you to avoid things like quitting a job when you don't have another one or skinny dipping. No, life is for the living, I say. Just be rational and protect your stuff, preferably with Safeco Insurance. You see, with Safeco, an independent agent will help you get the coverage you need for the life you want. So if you want to get a motorcycle and ride to the mountains so you can go kayaking down the rapids to the RV you're going to drive cross country with your family, it's cool. With Safeco, you'll be covered. And whether it's a home, car, a motorcycle, a boat, or all of the above, you'll get a rate that's incredibly reasonable. Safeco Insurance. Do more. Coverage by Safeco Insurance Company of American Affiliates, Seattle, Washington.
See Park Avenue Insurance in Raton at 210 Park Avenue. Phone 445-2768. 445-2768. Park Avenue Insurance. All right, another guest into the studios this morning is Joanne Thompson. Hi, Joanne. Good morning. Yeah, no, I've got you turned on there.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning, and how are you, Billy?
We're great, we're great. How are you doing today?
Oh, just fine.
All right.
Come to take and give you some good news.
Okay.
We have our first meeting Thursday the 19th at 10 o'clock.
Your first meeting of?
Compassion and Choices.
Compassion and Choices.
Reorganization.
Okay.
At the First Baptist Church, which is on the corner of 3rd and Rio Grande. And you go in the side door, the lower door, so that people that with disabilities doesn't have to go up steps. And we're bringing in some new members, and I'd like to see some more come in.
Okay.
Our main goal.
Yeah, what is compassion?
Okay, it's to help people get things in line for when the terminal illnesses are going to do them in.
For those who have or those who have friends or family with a terminal
illness. That's right. That's right. And so many times, the people that have terminal illness, they'll ask the doctor, well, what can I expect? The doctor will tell them. But nobody will tell them what they're going to feel in their head and their minds, which is really hard because they've got fears and they can't go to anyone unless it's somebody that is suffering from a terminal illness and say, what do you feel like? What is your real fear? You know, let's get this out.
And know that other people have these fears.
Yeah, and are willing to voice and give them.
So you're not really alone in all of this.
Yeah, you're not alone. You're not alone. It's a caring group. Mm-hmm. I mean, we care how you feel. And the caretakers, I know from my own personal experience on that, sometimes you get some pretty bad thoughts in your head that, you know.
Even when you're well.
Yeah.
You get the bad
it's
thoughts.
Like, yeah. I'm a prisoner.
Yeah.
I can't go. Mm-hmm. You know? Well, people with terminal illness is also a prisoner. A prisoner of their mind and their heart. Because a lot of them can still get out and go. Sure. They can still enjoy things. It is quality, not quantity,
right,
that we're after. Let's have a happy
day by day.
We're all going to die. It's 100% sure.
We're
all
going to die. We were just talking about that this morning, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
And it was quite something, because when I set this meeting, was able to get it set up, I knew Relay for Life was coming up this weekend. And I went ahead and we set it up, you know, the 19th, blah, blah, blah. got home to mark it on the calendar, and I looked, and lo and behold, wouldn't you know, Relay for Life starts Friday.
Mm-hmm.
What better time? Do you know, this is for our terminal. Of course, Relay for Life is mostly for cancer and that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but I do know, reading here a couple weeks ago in New York after 9/11, they have come up, identified 11 new strains of aggressive cancer, of the cancer that we already have. Now, isn't that strange? 11 new cases, or 11 new strains.
Hmm.
The only ones that was not included in that was prostate and breast cancer. What's that leaving us? And do you know that Raton itself has had a very high rate of thyroid cancer for the last couple years? Explain it.
We've had many, many instances of cancer here. Of all sorts of cancers.
The percentage of people walking around with cancer is quite high right now. And there's nothing, and I couldn't remember it, so I had to bring it with me. The Serenity Prayer, that the 12 Steps program, God grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We need this in everything, not just our alcoholics.
Absolutely.
And that, in a very wise man one time said, in fact, it was Theodore Roosevelt, people don't care what you do. Until they find out you are caring.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need, is more caring in this world.
And one little side note is people, they don't care what you, well, to a point, they don't care what you do, what you have done. They remember how you made them feel.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you
and
can go up.
Caring is part of that.
Yeah. You can go up. And I've noticed a lot that people are afraid to hug one another. What's wrong with you see a friend? What's wrong with walking up? Guys are a little different, but...
No, they're not. Come on, guys.
They're not.
No,
besides that, they like to be hugged
There's
by
three
women.
There's three guys out there waiting. We're going to hug them when they come.
Right on.
They left.
They went out the door real quick.
They're not scared of nothing.
But we do. I mean, we need to show people we care, not just people that's ill, but other people.
Hugging's important. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's a big part of the healing process.
That's right.
As you said, caring. And so Compassionate Choices is a caring organization, sort of reorganizing now. And then your meeting is when, Joanne?
Thursday the 19th at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
In the First Baptist Church Fellowship Hall.
First Baptist Church, 3rd in Rio Grande.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. And if they have questions before...
Oh, yes, they can call me.
Okay.
445-8412. And if you don't get an answer, try back.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Okay. Thank you.
Joanne, thank you. And make sure you leave us that information, too. We'll get it written down so we can remind people about that. 8:51 a.m. here in the Rocky Mountain West. Let's remind you about RBS True Value and Building Material Centers.
Bring out the natural beauty of wood decks, trim, and siding with Woodsman Oil and Acrylic Stain from RBS True Value Building Materials in Raton and Angel Fire. It not only restores the look of wood, but also protects it against fading, weathering, and mildew. And it comes with a time warranty. Solid color oil stain is only $27.99. Semi-transparent oil and semi-transparent acrylic stains are $29.99. And solid color acrylic stain is only $39.99 a gallon, while supplies last. Stop in today. And now that summer is in full swing, keep cool with a 27-inch West Point oscillating tower fan from RBS True Value Building Materials in Raton and Angel Fire. Right now, it's only $17.99 while supplies last. This slim, contemporary design is perfect for small spaces. It features 3-speed settings and oscillates to move air efficiently throughout the entire room. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the cool breeze. For this and other incredible bargains of the month, hurry into RBS True Value Building Materials in Raton and Angel Fire. Start right, start here.
All right, Tim Trujillo, Fabian Quintana, and Larry Osborne are in the studios this morning. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning, Billy.
Hugs all around, huh? All right. Run for the wall.
Yes, we're here to do the drawing for the raffle we've been running for several months now, and time to just get her done.
Get her done, huh? And this Run for the Wall, of course, proceeds going for that very, very fine event that comes. And this year was a resounding success. How many bikes?
475,
yeah, that were filled up. And next year's the 25th anniversary, is it not? So
it is.
We probably will see more.
We're hoping.
Yeah.
We're hoping.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a good year.
Yeah. Now, I'm wondering if they held the bikes here, which is fine. They held them here for, a half hour, 45 minutes or so, while they waited for, I guess they were going to do a Trinidad, they do a parade over there.
They had a parade this year.
Yeah.
Flag Day or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So I wonder if they're going to do it again next year. Be nice to know so that we can tell people on the air or whatever, just exactly. Because we like to go down and broadcast and tell them when they're coming through town. So just a little aside.
We're going to try to coordinate that a little bit better. And if they are, we'll try to extend our program a little bit to give them a little something to do besides just sit there warming up the bikes.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you could dance or something. Fabian could sing.
It would be entertaining.
Everybody would laugh.
Tim, he'd get up there and do his monologue.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. But a lot of people in independent riders. How many in your club now?
There's 30 of us.
30?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We have a couple in Cimarron, a couple in Springer.
Okay. So anyone from the area, obviously.
We're floating around a little more.
Okay. Yeah. See, for a guy who doesn't talk, you need to give him the microphone now.
And actually, we have a couple up in Pueblo.
Yeah, we also have a couple in Pueblo.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good deal.
And so we're floating around everywhere.
And pretty much independent riders, the thing that you're together for is for this particular event, for the Wall.
That's correct. That's kind of our single purpose, really, is to support the vets, and in particular, the Run for the Wall.
Right. Okay. And how old is the club? I mean, you've been together for...
Eight years.
8 years now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so open to anyone, again, who wants to help support our troops and the Run for the Wall.
Yeah, okay. We're honored to go to Springer and do the parade with the guys that are going to Egypt. So that was real nice for all of us.
How did that go? Yeah?
It was real nice. They had a real pretty program for them.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, that's our 6/15th. Have they already taken off?
Yeah,
they already took off. They're heading for Egypt. So, okay, independent riders, raffle, and let's see. You've got some great prizes here, as a matter of fact. So you're going to start from the bottom, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right, and you're going to allow me to de-sacify the winners here. First is the Eagle statue, and that is Brenda Samora. Brenda Samora is the winner of the Eagle statue. So we'll write it on the back here, too. And who did the Eagle statue?
That was donated by Joe Cacciatore, and I believe it's one of the Hallmark statues.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, man. I wanted that one.
That's a nice piece.
Yeah. Okay, then the other is Cooker with Wheels. Is that the Harley?
No. Cooler.
Cooler with wheels.
Oh! That's an L, not a kid. Oh,
the you must want to go to a barbecue, huh?
Yeah.
You're in good company, Billy. Trust me.
Okay, Cooler with Wheels. And who donated that?
I did.
Fabian. Rick Rodriguez. Lubbock, Texas is where your cooler is going. So we'll write it right there. Okay. And that's one of those big Mama Jama things, huh? That we all... could you put it on the back of your motorcycle?
It's a little big for that.
Oh, really? Well, but you could haul it around with if it's got the wheels.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's for your soda pops.
Okay. Next is Indian-made necklace.
Who did that?
That's actually made by Joe Goenas. He's part of our crew out of Pueblo.
Yeah, he's Lakota Sioux.
Okay.
Wow, great.
He makes a lot of Indian jewelry and stuff. We had a bunch of stuff in Super Station when we had our bake sale. He makes some pretty good stuff.
Patricia Butch. Indian necklace. Indian handmade necklace. And then a handmade knife. Same thing?
That was donated by myself, Larry Osborne.
Okay, all right. And who made that?
I did.
Okay, great. What would you use?
It's a good skinning knife. It's got a deer crown handle
deer
on
crown,
it and handmade sheath to go with it.
Okay, great. Vic Duran of Raton gets the handmade knife. And then an etched mirror. Okay. Who does the etched mirror? Who did the etched mirror?
Sammy Blair makes those for us every
year.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
those are really nice.
He's actually made a bunch of us as far as the collection. He has them all on Facebook.
Oh, okay. For the Run for the Wall?
Yeah. One for all the stuff we do, too. He has about maybe five already that he's made for us.
Okay.
And each one is always different.
And this, I believe, is Danielle Martinez, I think. Is that Danielle Martinez?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
The etched mirror. Okay. Okay. All right. And let's see. Girls Harley Rockin' Horse. All right. All right. Where'd you get that?
That was an anonymous donation. They wish to remain anonymous.
Okay. So. All right. Very good. Got all kinds of those kind of people around here.
Oh, yeah.
They give but don't want to really get just to give, not just because of the credit. Mike Romero of Raton. Girls Rockin' Horse. I'm sure he can find someone that'll fit.
Oh, I would imagine.
And then, first is the Cow Elk Hunt on Vermejo Park Ranch. Okay? And this is, you have to have your own license.
That's correct.
Okay.
You have to buy your own license, but they allow, you're basically getting the trespass permit.
Okay, so you can go and cow elk hunt. As a matter of fact, they're opening up many of those on the New Mexico Department of Game and Fish website.
Huh.
They've got another 2,000, I think.
Wow.
And that begins tomorrow. So this would be a good thing.
Yes.
All right. Look at this. Debbie Chavez.
Ah.
Yeah.
Good.
Ron's significant other. So, congratulations to those winners.
We're going to go ahead and give away one more necklace.
Oh, okay.
And that was just... thank you for everybody.
All right. Very good. Handmade necklace. And William Alamond. Raton. Bill Alamond.
Good deal. Good deal. And we want to be sure we thank everybody for their support on this. Again, Raton really turns out to support the vets, and we greatly appreciate all of it.
You did another fundraiser, too, your poker run. And
yes.
So how'd that turn out?
We had 84 entries. It was
really?
Wasn't bad the first round.
Yeah. That's great. Okay.
We were in Gordon and missed out on some good old-fashioned food.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we got a little bit of typical New Mexico weather. We got a little rain, a little hail, and a lot of sunshine.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was a good
ran
day.
Ran out of gas
in the route.
Yeah.
Oh well,
and somebody ran out of gas twice coming in, but we won't mention names.
Okay, all right. That's the only thing you can prevent, huh? Is running out of gas. Okay, gentlemen, thank you
for
gassing us up and gassing up the veterans too for the Run for the Wall, and so you're going to do that obviously next year.
Yeah, that was our first annual, so we're going to continue from there on
for the poker run. Okay, very good. And then you might have is there another fundraiser as we get on into next? Oh, you've got your Halloween thing.
Yeah, the Halloween dance is coming up.
Okay, Halloween dance probably the next thing then. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've got a couple more things in mind. We haven't decided yet, but we're going to try to do a couple others.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. The prices, guys, are getting crazy, so we're going to try to be ahead of it next year.
Okay. Yeah, because $475 this year, you should have easily over $500 next year, I would think, for the 25th anniversary.
Yeah, I hope you're going to be there, no?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we enjoyed that, and that's very important. So.
And we do appreciate the support that KRTN gives us.
So very, very important. I mean, the veterans, you know, we're not here if they haven't done their job. So,
absolutely.
Okay. Anything else? We can't read lips. Oh, okay. Well, okay, I know.
We need to, I think we need to come up with who they contact for
the prizes. Oh, okay. All right.
You held the majority of them, huh?
Who do you want to contact?
Well, if anybody wants to contact for your prizes, get a hold of me, Larry, or Fabian. My cell number is 575-779-7084. And Fabian will give you his number, and Larry Osborne also.
Okay.
Mine is 575-643-5991.
And mine is 575-643-1639.
Okay, very good.
If they can't get a hold of us, can they call up here and we'll bring it to the radio station?
Sure.
What we'll do is we will contact the people, you know, since he does have the names, the addresses, and the phone numbers. We'll contact the people that won.
Okay, very good. Gentlemen, thank you again.
Thank you, Billy.
Run for the wall. One thing, Larry, you are also the Colfax County Fire Marshal, so again, had to declare a dry season again last week.
Yes, I think the state's kind of been ahead one way and then a little bit behind in the other. You know, they pulled the trigger on the fire ban, in my opinion, just a little early, and that's okay. Then they decided to lift it, and, you know, I've been going out pretty much, if not every day, every other day, checking different areas, and we're getting rain, but it's very spotty. Mm-hmm. We're back to high temperatures. We've still been getting some winds in there, and a lot of areas are just very, very dry. So I decided that when they lifted it to go ahead and institute it within our county. We do have two exceptions to that right now. One is French Track, because they're in one of those spots that's been getting rain a little bit, and Vermejo Park, and talked with them, and they've been getting quite a bit of rain up in their areas, so they're wanting to kind of hold off. Now, French Track, depending upon weather, we may institute.
May go back, yeah.
Into a ban. We're just kind of watching that close to see. And then again, if the monsoons pick up and we can get some moisture that'll pull us out of it, we can always lift it.
Okay. All right. We'll do our rain dance then. Hope for the best. So fire permits are rescinded in all areas except for French Tract and Vermejo Park.
That's correct.
Okay. And also the chainsaws.
Yeah, we will allow use of chainsaws, but we want you to be using a chainsaw that has the manufacturer spark arrestor in place.
It has to.
If it's been modified,
yeah,
it's not allowable.
It's illegal. Absolutely.
Yep.
And all it takes is a spark. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you, Billy.
Gentlemen, we'll see you at Run for the Wall, something at least for Halloween, maybe something a little
bit
before.
We're going to get to our Halloween dance now. Come on.
Okay, all right. We wear our costumes quite often around here. Thanks a lot.
Okay, take care, Billy.
9:05 a.m. here in the Rocky Mountain West, and, you know, a place that has a costume party every now and then. I think they had one last year, St. James Hotel and Restaurant. They've got some real inspiration. I'm looking for inspiration. They've got some real outlaws down there and some desperados, but some really good folks also. Let's go there right now, get some inspiration for food. The St. James Hotel and Restaurant in Cimarron has been a part of our Western history since 1872. And from the beginning, it was known as one of the finest establishments in the West. From its Wild West beginnings, the St. James has been newly remodeled and renovated. And in the restaurant, you can savor the upscale comfort food from tasty soups and house-baked breads and desserts. Steaks, bison burgers...